in the game.
Hi, thanks for joining us tonight. My name is Tara Mahadevan, and I'm a journalist and also first-generation Indian. I just want to give a little backstory on why we're here. Earlier this year, my roommate and I, Christine, she's first-generation Filipina, we were having dinner at Soho, actually, and we noticed we were with all first-generation kids, which is kind of a rarity, at least for me. And they're also all in a creative field. And it was really cool to swap experiences with them and, you know, understand the differences between our upbringings and the similarities. And so after that night, I was inspired to hold a panel here with other first-generation kids. And it was just a really beautiful moment. And, you know, I just wanted to dig deeper and continue to share those experiences one-on-one. So that's why we're here today. So this is the first installation of my new WGN series called Radical Diaspora. Woo. And
woo! Yeah! Oh my God, I'm so proud! Wow!
Okay, you sound like you're being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
So while the first panel only consisted of first-generation kids, Radical Diaspora aims to be more inclusive and highlight creative young creative people who have close ties to their homeland or of a diaspora and who are involved in a creative pursuit. So today we'll be talking more in depth about the intersection of culture, career, and creativity. And my guest and I will have, like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour conversation, followed by a short performance and then a Q&A if y'all have any questions.
Yeah. So,
do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm terrible at introducing myself. Hi. So my name is FemDot. I rap a lot. That's what I do with most of my time. I am first generation Nigerian. Really bad with intros. I like long walks on the beach. I have a really bad Tinder account.
TMI.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? No, I mean, I don't really check it, so it's not, I don't know what's there.
Oh, that's what you mean. I was
yeah, not like, was like, not like swipe right. Like, that's not the, you feel me?
Or like, what you include your bio?
Oh, no, like, my bio is probably trash. It's probably trash. I actually have no idea what it is.
Yeah, you want to pull that up real quick?
I don't have the app, so I don't know. Okay, yeah, well. I just, it's been gone for a while. But yeah, would you swipe right? It's like, no. But yeah, That is me in a nutshell. I'm FemDot. I'll be rapping. I do other things outside of rap, but I rap a lot. And I grew up Nigerian American, hella Nigerian, but also hella American.
That's what we're gonna talk about.
That's what I'm here. Yeah. That's what I'm here for. Yeah.
So you grew up in Chicago. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah. So I was born on the North Side, and then I moved to the South Burbs. And then I would, like, be in the South Burbs or, like, the North Side, like, anywhere between Evanston, Rogers Park, and Uptown. Like, I would kind of just splash back and forth. A hell of a commute. It's a whole, I know Lakeshore at the back of my hand. Like, it's hell of a commute. But it was worth it. I mean, like, all Africans live up north. Like, it's impossible to, like, live between those three areas I named and not know at least one African, specifically a Nigerian or a Ghanaian. Or either Nigerian or Ghanaian or like Eritrean or Ethiopian, like they're all up there. Especially like you go by Devon, just we got all of our meat and like our food and shit and spices.
Where all the Indians
and shit.
Are, hey.
Right? Gang. So we got all of our shit like up there. You feel me? So and then we'll trap like the world market and shit. We'll be in there. So.
So why did y'all move to the suburbs?
Safety. And my mom wanted us in a really good school, which is funny because like none of my schools were that good till high school. Like, so it didn't really defeat the purpose, but that's beside the point. Just to, you know, be in a safer situation, and kind of just get away, you know. Like my parents, they moved here in the 80s, and they moved and they were in on the North Side. They were in Uptown. That's where they were. And so it's like, you know, when one African moves somewhere, like, oh, you should come, just come, you know, just everyone just come, you know, this one is okay, just come. And then, you know what I'm saying, then Africans start spreading out to the south suburbs and the same thing happened. Oh, just come, it's fine, they have good schools, you can learn yourself, just come. So then, you feel me, my mom was like, bet. But the main thing for her was like going, having a good education in good school, because education was a whole whole thing. So that's really why we moved. Safety and education.
What do your parents do?
So my dad is actually in Nigeria. He has like a water filtration business that he started when I was in high school. So he's been like back and forth between here and Nigeria, which is a typical like Nigerian story, like of like dads like going. So he's been there since I was like 13. And my mom is a social worker, so she just, you know, tries to help kids.
And you got hella siblings.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of four.
Your siblings, including you, obviously, y'all all are just stars, I feel like.
Yeah, they're stars. I'm trying to catch up.
Oh, come on.
I'm trying to catch up. Okay. So my oldest brother, side note, I got nephews who turn one in like 2 days, and I'm super excited. Like, I can't wait. Their birthday on 7-Eleven, so I get them like slushies like for the rest of their life. I've already got it planned out. It's great. Yeah, my oldest brother is super dope. He used to rap. He's the reason why I rap. So he's super raw, but now he's like a businessman and has like a wonderful wife and like two beautiful little boys, and like, it's great. He's like a model, like, oh, what your son should be like, ass nigga, like, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, like, this is so great, like, you're successful. And then my sister's superhuman. She does everything.
Your sister's amazing.
My sister's a walking Guinness World Book like of records or whatever. She's literally does everything.
Did started the first bobsled team in
Nigeria. Yeah, started ever, first ever African bobsled team. She's the founder, Bobsled Federation, ran in the Olympics in 2012, doing the 110 hurdles, ran in the Olympics in 2018, the Winter Olympics, doing the bobsled thing.
I know, I peeped you on your Instagram.
I was in Korea, my bag. She also has like 5 degrees. She's a chiropractor. She's a certified doctor. She's also just the nicest person on the planet. So that's kind of, it's a thing. So I love her. So she's super dope. And then my brother in between me and her is also like cracking. He's a comedian and an actor. He currently lives in LA. So we kind of all took the untraditional like typical like first generation like parent, like, oh, lawyer, doctor, engineer type thing. Like, neither one of us, well, my sister's a doctor, but she's also everything, so doesn't really count. But yeah, so my brother's a comedian and actor, also super cool, and where I get most of my like style and like the way I walk and carry myself from.
So your parents weren't that against you rapping?
I was good in school, so they just let it slide. Honestly,
they kind of thought it would like pass
at first, but then I kept doing that shit and it was like, oh, maybe this is a thing. But yeah, they always thought it was a hobby. But they never really, one thing I would say about my parents that was really cool, they never really shied away from like from what we what our passions was. Like, we all played basketball growing up. My sister ran track, I ran track too. And like, even if he was on punishment or something, maybe like, go to practice and come home, you know what I'm saying, like, don't do nothing else, but you can go to practice or you can go to your game or whatever. They never really shied away really much from our hobbies, but academics was always like the biggest thing. So I realized, like, if I can just finesse school, you feel me, and just like make sure I look decent in school, then they wouldn't ask any questions about anything else I'm doing. So like it's really that simple. Like, if I come home with straight A's, you're gonna trust me. So if I'm like, if I just do it,
you can do whatever you want.
Clearly,
yeah,
much.
It's a pass.
Yeah, it, literally.
I just get out of jail. Free.
Get out of. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was like a.
Yeah, that was for more than one. But yeah, literally, like, if I, you know, so I was like, okay, I'll just focus on school. You know what I'm saying? School, like, you know, it's a system. If you find a way to finesse it, find a way to work it, you can swindle through. So. Yeah.
So what's your, I mean, how did you start rapping and why? And
so,
right, you said your brother.
Yeah, my oldest brother used to rap. He was super hot and he used to like always play hip hop in the crib when he wasn't supposed to. And I used to like jump on the couch when Biggie was playing, and like he'd play like Infamous and stuff. And I'll literally be hopping on the couch, probably fucked up the couch. But I'll be hopping on the couch, I would always just pick up on it. And then one day, like, they were having a cypher. The year was 2001. They were having a cypher in my basement when my parents were out of town, and I came down.
So much stuff starts like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I came down and started rapping, and I was on beat. It was gibberish. I wasn't making no sense. But they were gassing me. They was like, yo, you going crazy.
And wait, how old were you?
6.
And they were?
They were some... Me and my oldest brother are 12 years apart, so he was 18.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
They were...
Yeah, but I've always, so like, that my siblings have never treated me as somebody like, as they've always treated me like a younger brother, you know what I'm saying? But it was never like, it never treated me like I was younger in general, like, because I was able to kind of talk to
you. You were a lit
stuff.
6 year old.
I was out and about. We was live. We was live.
I mean, so, clearly.
A little bit. Yeah, splash. So, because of that, like, they would never really push me away. They're always like, let me come kick it with them, which for the better or for the worst. But yeah, so they were, I was downstairs, couldn't sleep, started rapping. And then from that day on, I was like, damn, I'm gonna really start rapping. Recorded my first song like a week later.
You remember it?
I do, but like, I'm gonna release it like 3 years from now. Don't worry.
Okay. We're waiting now.
It's there. It's on my hard drive. Like, it's a whole thing. It's like, the song's called like, What You Wanna Be When You Grow Up. I mentioned Seinfeld. It's beautiful.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, you know, we watch a lot of Seinfeld at home.
The only thing I know is the No Soup for You.
Oh yeah, no, it's all, so much more. You know about Festivus? You know, it's so much more.
Nah.
it's a lot, man. Yeah, we watch Seinfeld and Rap City. Like, that was.
Those are like polar opposites. I feel.
Yeah,
like. But maybe not polar, but those opposite are enough.
Typically, because Seinfeld came on right after Rap City.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's easy.
So
switch.
was Biggie the first rapper that really like sparked your interest?
Jay-Z.
Okay.
The song Dead Presidents 2 changed my life. I seen the video and I was like, I want to be like, because my brother was so captivated by him, mm-hmm. and I was captivated by my brother. So I was like, damn, I want to be like whoever has him stuck. And I was watching the video and that's what did it. I was like, yeah. That's when he, like, Jay-Z was bald and shit. Like, he was like in his Lexus.
True.
Yeah, it was a different time.
Yeah.
but that video, I remember watching that video on BET Next. You know, they used to show videos from like 11 to like 4 on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And even that, like, MTV Box or whatever. Like, I have a very vivid memory. clearly.
It wasn't that long ago, I feel
no,
like.
No, but like, you know, it's like,
I mean, you're 22, right?
Yeah. So it's long enough. But so I would like watch. So I remember that morning, like, I remember a morning specifically, and it's all 2001, this all happened around the same time. And I would like, I came down and watched my brother just rapping every word to Dead Presidents, but like staring dead at the screen. And our screen wasn't big. It was like 28 inches, you feel me? So he in there, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, damn, like, what's going on? Like, yo, what's. And I already heard the songs before, but I never seen the visual. And I was like, damn, him? He got chains on? He got a Lexus?
Right. Goals.
Yeah. Goals. Early. Yeah.
Right. So you're in the South Suburbs at this point?
Yeah.
You're Nigerian?
Like, yeah.
Are you surrounded by other Africans, or first generation kids, or did you feel like... did you feel othered, or did you feel
oh,
like
no,
you fit in?
No, I definitely felt other. Like, my heating skills, like, my skills to talk about people is only because people used to, like, be so ready to go. Because, like, everyone, no one was creative. Everyone just, like, went straight to African jokes. And I'm like, y'all not even funny. You know what I'm saying? Like if it was a funny African joke, I'd laugh. But, like, everyone just goes straight to, like, lions and shit. And I'm like, it's so much other shit you could talk about. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, but, yeah, I was definitely, like, typically the only, like, African I would know would be, like, two of us, and we'll all be in the front because our names will start with something long or with an A or an O or some shit. Or just the fact that we'll be in class and the teacher will be like, excuse me if I get this wrong before they start. And you'll know, I'm like, I'm here.
I feel that completely.
Yeah, you feel me? Exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, all my schools are black. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think. Like,
you said that there are a lot of other, like.
Yeah, but that's up north. It's a whole community. So when I'm up north, it's all Africans. But
so
even
cool.
Then. Yeah, even then, because we all Africans, but we all first generations together. So we all, like, whatever we doing hot or whatever is going on, like, we all black but African at the same time. So, like, we all can kind of just, you know what I'm saying, get in trouble together. But, like, when I would be in school or something like that, it would be a couple Africans, but typically I'm the only one. Or I'm the only one that, like, would embrace it. Like, I would wear, like a lot of African attire to school sometimes and stuff.
Oh, other kids were too embarrassed?
Yeah. I mean, it was something to be embarrassed about. You feel me? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, like... And I would be very embarrassed about it, too, had it not been reinforced in my home. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff, like, colorism, like, even my, like, skin complexion. Like, there's a lot of stuff I feel like I would have been really, like, questioning deeply about if it wasn't for the reinforcement from, like, my sister or, like, my brothers or whatever when I got home.
Yeah, I mean, I often feel like, you know, when you're in the crib and, like, you know, you're with your family, it's for me, it's like India. Then mm-hmm. you step out, you gotta kind of, like, reacclimate and be... I mean, it's easier now that I'm older, but when I was younger...
It was trash. Yeah, like, so... Yeah, like, Nigerian culture is so, like... It's real humbling because it's real, like, petty, man. Like, it's cool. I love it, but, like... Like, it's, like, the age... It's interesting, right? And I never really realized like how Nigerian I was until I got older. Like, I'm low-key Nigerian as hell, and just how I think about things. I never really thought about that. But it's because, like, for us, it wasn't necessarily the whole crib, because it's, remember, like, I'm the youngest, so all my other siblings kind of been through everything. So, like, it's really the living room, and the kitchen is, like, little Nigeria. You feel me?
Then, like, especially the kitchen.
Especially the kitchen. If I walk past the kitchen and my mom's, I learned how to cook because my mom. I walk past the kitchen and my mom be like, "Why are you doing my slave? If you don't come, cut these. Go grab an onion jar. Why are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so I have to just start like I'll learn to cook because like I can't walk past her because she wouldn't feed me if I like, okay. like if I walk past. But
everyone got a pitch in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a team thing. You know what I'm saying? But because of that, like our rooms. And like our basement, because when we moved to the suburbs, we got a basement. Before we had like, it was in the townhouse. So we had upstairs. Upstairs was like little Chicago, and then downstairs was like little Nigeria.
Because all the rap music was played upstairs.
All the rap music was played. My brother was rapping. We was all capping. We was playing spades and Uno, and like, you know, we used to fight and like break shit, and then blame it on. Well, we never really blamed on each other. We would just like pick who's gonna take the blame today. So we was like, okay, like damn, like
or hide it.
No, see, because what the reality was like, they gonna know. So it's like, all right.
No, immigrant parents be on your ass.
Yo, they got like a sixth sense. They be knowing. So
you
like
have 12 senses.
Damn near a whole 12. Yeah. And so like we'll be like, okay, like, all right, well, who's gonna get in trouble today? Like, who's gonna get a whooping or whatever situation may be? Who's gonna get in trouble? And then like so we'll come down and like, oh, who broke the lamp? And I broke the lamp, but like I'm not trying to get in trouble. And my sister be like, all right, I get in trouble for you, but you gotta wash my dishes for like 4 weeks. And my mom will come down for 4 weeks straight, and I'm doing dishes, and she like she'll ask no questions. The kitchen clean, you feel me? So she'll ask no questions. But yeah, it was a different dynamic stepping outside, but even just like from room to room, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, but it was cool.
Yeah, I feel like the TV is always like a really, you know, like you said, like for you it was like a intro into pop culture.
Yeah, definitely. Music. Especially because we had to like, we couldn't watch TV during the week for most of the like, until I was like maybe like 10 or something. I had to like finesse it. So we were like switch on channels back and forth to the channel. Last channel was on, you know what I'm saying? You know, it was on CNN or Fox or something. We got switched back. My parents used to like confiscate our like Dreamcast, and like we had to like sneak it from my brother room and like play 2K and then put it back in the exact same spot, put the TV back on the exact same thing, get the VCR. Because
they've got the 12 senses, they would know.
And on top of that, like, you know what I'm saying, they got the and then we got the VCR or whatever, so I make sure the inputs is the same. Like, yeah, it was a whole thing. Yeah.
How do you think you were raised differently as a first generation kid?
I think just once again,
do you think you have different values?
Yeah, I mean, like, in terms of, like, culture-wise, like besides being petty, Nigerian culture is extremely humbling. It forces you, in a lot of times, to think of other people in different senses. Like, you end up, like, even when I come home, like, I'm, like, when, like hosting guests. Like, for example, like, hosting guests, right? When my dad would come home with his friends, I would like bring them beer out, open it for him, whatever, pour the beer, Guinness or Heineken, it's only one of the two. Bring the beer out, whatever. I would like bring water to wash their hands. I would bring their food out. I would bring it all back. Like, I would wash all their dishes, anything they need. Like, you know how like your parents would be like, oh, come, you know, change the channel on the remote. But reminding that, like imagine that for like your parents' friend. Like, who's now your uncle? Everybody's your uncle or auntie or cousin. So, like, imagine that. And then, but now I find myself, like, anytime somebody come over to my house, you want some water, you want something to drink, you this, or whatever. Like, and I never really realized how much that played a part. But that's just an example of stuff. Like, just...
Well, family is, like, you know, a value.
It's the biggest thing. Yeah, it's the central. Biggest thing ever. And family is not just immediate family by any means. It's, like everybody, your cousin, like... And even then, that's why it's really hard. I feel like as specifically as an African, really in Chicago, to like front your move or like cap, like they don't know who you like. I know your mama, like, you know what I'm saying. Like, I know where you stay. I know your mama. I know how you was raised. Like, you can't really fraud around me. You know what I'm saying? Because your mama, I call your mama my auntie. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to prostrate when you see people. When you see elders, you have to like prostrate as a form of respect.
We do the same thing.
That's the whole thing. That's crazy. Like, that's like that. And for me, like, I was younger, like, why the fuck? I got bad knees. Like, why am I, you feel me? Like, I'm an athlete.
Respect,
like,
your elders.
But that's literally the whole thing. But that's really what it is. You feel me? And it's like, and it's certain stuff that still be annoying. but overall, like as you get older, you start kind
of
seeing
part of the shit.
They're saying you start seeing like how it makes sense in their mind or in general. But it's just like, yeah, but definitely like family's everything, and just like how you carry yourself, like it's really big. Like my move is very specific, and I get that from just like how my family moves, or how my dad really, or my mom will like really insinuate how I'm supposed to move or whatever.
What do you mean by that?
Like, so everything is image. Everything is image, because you're black. You're African, so you know what I'm saying? Your aunties are going to look at you crazy. You're an immigrant, you're not from here, your name's weird, you know what I'm saying? So off the strength, you have to like do stuff that's, you have to always be on your toes. You damn near have to fake always be in a state of paranoia, because like you can't allow someone to, you have to always control your narrative, right. Always. You can't let anyone control your narrative. And I realize like everyone doesn't think like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm always trying to be in control of my narrative, but that's because, like, I can't allow for that, like, because of how my parents are, how, you know, like, we were just raised in the house. Like, before we leave, they'll always remind us, like, yeah, you know, like, make sure you're doing this, 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 or whatever, or this goes this way, or, you know, we'll get dressed, and why are you wearing that one? That one looks like this. You can't, you know, you want to be any...
It's like an extra boy. Judgmental
It's
layer.
Super... It's dumb judgmental. Yes. So you gotta, like... But and you try to like when you're younger, you're like, I'm gonna be rebellious and shit. Like, oh, y'all want to judge me, so I'm finna just wild out. But low key, you end up like really internalizing all that judgment, and then like now, like how you and you can either go either way. You can either like continue to wild out or like start like really overthinking like how you present yourself to the world because you feel like everyone's gonna judge you. So that's the thing.
It's even mood. You can't be in like a bad mood.
Don't matter.
You're not allowed.
What mood?
Yeah, exactly.
What bills do you have? What bills do you have to pay mood to have a mood? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't afford a mood in the crib. Like, what mood do you have? If you don't go, you know, like after Nigerian parents don't apologize. Like at all. They're not gonna say sorry. They're gonna just ask if you're hungry. and not even ask if you're hungry, like just come eat. Like what?
The parallels are crazy.
Like yeah, I'm just like, dog, what you want with me, dog? Like you just yelled at me and you was wrong. Like, you was super wrong. Like I knew, like you knew it in your heart you was wrong. You feel me?
But
food fixes everything. You just like, damn, I'm finna go get a meal.
And you're not even hungry.
But then then they gonna get mad at you if you don't come eat. You feel me? Like
you literally can't sit at the table. Right. You know?
No, I'm gonna just like take my food and go downstairs. Just walk downstairs, and they go, "Why are you going? Just come sit. And they want to talk to you about what?
Right. Join the conversation.
About what? What are we talking about? About you was wrong? No, I can't say that though. You know what I'm saying? Because you my
I'm
elder.
Supposed to have a normal conversation now,
right?
I'm still heated. But
how was your day? How was school? What? What you mean? How was school? Like, yeah, it's definitely an interesting situation. But overall, it's a very humbling experience, and it really. I feel like the culture I was brought in really taught me humility and just like how to like appreciate things or not to take things like not to get because Nigerians are so not Nigerians are big headed. Like they be in a bag, dog. Like they be flashy and I don't like that. So I'm not flashy like that. You feel me? But I think that's also based on me seeing how flashy Nigerians are. But we all super prideful. Like that's a thing. Like, you know, the joke is like if like a Nigerian and like a college, like Nigerian, like Logic or somebody else walks in the ball, who's going to tell you about yourself first? Like probably a Nigerian is going to tell you that they're Nigerian. Like it's a thing, like, or you're going to know. So
it's the same for us, but we don't joke about it.
Yeah, and it's dead serious.
Yeah, it's like no jokes.
Yeah, nah, yeah. We be straight jokes. Nigerians are different, man. They ruthless too. Like, niggas be thinking like you be heating like regular people, be like, you know, like joking with regular people. Joke with Africans, dog. They real disrespectful. Like,
even, they're serious or they're joking?
It's a happy medium. Cause like they're making fun of you and laughing at you, but with you, but mostly at you. It's actually wild. But I love my people though. They're cool.
Did you bring weird food to school?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I used to bring jollof rice to school.
Talk about it though. What did you bring?
I used to bring jollof rice to school and like Mexicans I was cool with would be like, is, you know, it's red rice, so they'd be like, oh, like what is that? And I'd be like, jollof. What is jollof? That sounds like a disease. So they wouldn't really know. And like I remember my homie Bam came in my crib one day because we eat goat, goat meat and like mostly goat meat and like beef. But I remember I came, Bam came in my crib one day, and he seen. it took him years to eat in my house because he came in and he seen like, so we, you know, we buy fresh goat meat. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be sitting in the fridge, and it's like not like super bloody. You feel me? But it's not dry. You feel me?
I mean,
so
there's no head.
Right, there's no head. Right. But like, it's a lot of body. You know what I'm saying?
They're like legs and
yeah, no, it's just all chopped up. You feel me? Okay. You know what I'm saying?
That's not, that looks like regular meat,
right? But it was a lot of it was a little bloody. You know what I'm saying? Because we ain't cook it yet. Because it was fresh. You know what I'm saying? Because bro, them killed that. You know what I'm saying? So I remember he walked in, looked in our fridge, and he was scarred. Like he didn't eat any like food from my crib besides like a sandwich for like 10 years. Like. Like, you know, like well, I would bring for sometimes I would come like from because I would like being Muslim, I would come from Eid or I would come from the mosque or something, and I would bring food back from the mosque because we always have food at the end of the mosque, and it would be like jollof rice, it would be like inyan, which is like pounded yam, which is like what people call fufu, I guess it's like this like thing you eat with your hand, and I eat with my hands a lot, so like people kind of
did
look
you eat
at
with your hands
me.
In school though?
I don't, you know, I don't care.
You didn't care?
Because that's what I'm saying. I got jokes for anybody. You feel me? So it's like, all right, y'all can go, but I'm going to go. Like, we can go. You feel me? Like, because you got to prepare yourself. Like, I was like, and I was little. I'm like, I was like, in like sixth grade, I was like 4'7". Like, I was medium. You feel me? I'm a medium, super dark little. Like, I got to have jokes on deck because I'm like 4'7", like 96 pounds maybe. You know what I'm saying? Super little, super dark. Hair's rough. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't brushing excessively. So hair's rough. You feel me? And I'm African? Oh, yeah. They finna have a field day, so I gotta be ready.
You got that shit lined up.
Oh, yeah. You gotta stay ready.
Mm-hmm. So did it get better in middle school and high school?
I mean,
less of a fuck?
I mix of both. I mean, it got better. But also, like, I never really cared. Like, I didn't really care. Like, as I got older, I cared less.
Or, like,
less
better in terms of how people treated you or...
Yeah, it got better as I got... Because more or less, like... I mean, I would embrace it. And, like, you know, like, it's not cool to make fun of somebody if they, like not feeling bad. You know what I'm saying? Like people will be like...
It gets old.
Yeah, people be like, if you're going to make fun of you, but, like, you're not... It's not getting to you, then, like, it's no point. So, like...
Yeah, you laughing at yourself.
Yeah, I'm like... Because if it's a funny African joke, I'm going to laugh. You feel me? Like, wow, you clever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see what you did there. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, typically, like, as I got older, people kind of just started accepting me as me more. It's still, like, a very... It's all, like... Anytime something happens, people just refer back to being African or whatever. It's always like everyone's like fall back on or whatever. But for the most part, like, you know, and like, you know, African, you know, African booty scratcher or whatever. I think that's stupid because like, you know, you
don't even understand.
So you don't itch your ass. Yeah, like, I'm right. So confused. Like, I was just like, I was so lost. I'm like, so your ass is going to be itchy. Like, I'm just like, I was so confused. Like. Like, that's not even funny. Like, that's one of them joints where I'm like, now I got a heat so bad. That's not even funny. Like, I wish you had a good one so I can laugh with you. But now I got a heat show ass. Like, but, yeah. So, as I got older, it just, more, like, seriously, like, people just became kind of embracing me as a person more. Because I was going to be me regardless.
Were you rapping still?
I was rapping. I was rapping, playing
seriously
ball.
Rapping?
Yeah. I mean, I was selling mixtapes in, like, sixth grade.
Okay.
Yeah, we was out here. I was recording
a
rock band mic.
With your brother?
Oh, no, on a rock band mic in my house. I figured out how to set up my computer. So we used Audacity, then Cool Edit Pro. And I would like try to mix and master it. I would like watch YouTube
what
videos.
What does that mean, like in sixth grade?
It means people used to come to my crib like, yo, we at the stool. We in my crib. With the little rock band mic, I had to hold it like this so it ain't move. And yeah, we were recording my career, mixing, mastering, just trying to make it sound as much studio as possible. So I would watch videos and stuff, trying to get it right. But yeah, we were selling mixtapes.
You make a nice buck,
huh?
You make a nice buck.
Oh, I'll be all right. Be all right. You know, but you got to also like include the cost of, you know, burning hella CDs and the time. You know what I'm saying? You got to, you know, opportunity cost. You feel me? Like you got to weigh things out. But yeah, no, I'll make, you know, enough to like, you feel me, like buy a game for like. The PlayStation 2 or something, you know what I'm saying? By NBA Live, like 06 or some shit, you know what I'm saying? Something like that.
So in high school, were you still doing the same thing or?
Yeah, high school is actually when it really started happening for real. I started taking rap more and more seriously.
Was there like a reason for that?
I just started getting better. And people kept telling me, and I was like, oh, really? This is cool. And then I did a rap contest in high school. They had like a rap battle, and we had a broadcasting like department that like showed TV like every Thursday or Monday or every day, really. But like Thursday was a long days, and they show like segments. And so we had the rap battle for the whole school, and like they voted, and I won, which was cool. But then it was a day that people started like paying attention to what I was doing, and then I was still putting out mixtapes. I put like 5 mixtapes in high school, you know what I'm saying? But I don't really count those like that.
You're prolific though.
Yeah, I'm, you know what I'm saying? Trying to be, you feel me? So put out hella mixtapes in high school. One trended on Twitter, and it's like 2011 Twitter, so this is a different Twitter game, you feel me? So, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace 2011 Twitter. So it was stuff like that. But I was like, oh, I could probably really, you know what I'm saying? Because at first I was like, I'm going to be a scientist. Rapping is just something I do. It's like a backup plan. This is what I told my parents. Yeah, around like 15, 16, I was like, no, I can like actually probably do this for real. And I started, now like, it'll be little interactions. I run into people or whatever. Like, and then I started going to YCA and U Media. And I was like, wow, these people are really good. I need to step my bars up. And then my bars started stepping up.
I feel like you're a real storyteller. Is that where you kind of developed that aspect of your writing?
Yeah. YCA is why I tell stories. Because I always wanted to tell stories, and I never knew how. Like, anyone knew me who knew me prior to, like, 2011 was probably, like, straight. I just wanted to, like, Wayne you, like, punchlines. I'm just straight trying to rap really good. But it was like after I started going to YCA, instead of writing poetry, I started writing spoken word, and I wanted to make that completely different from my raps. But I got to tell a story through that, and that's kind of how like the storytelling thing came. Didn't still perfecting it, but like, you know, it started really like blossoming, I think. Not even 2011, like 2014, 2015, but I've been working on that. So the fact that people think I'm a storyteller, like, that's a thing. Like, it's like, oh my God. Like, because I worked on that. You feel me? Like, I wasn't that. That wasn't a thing.
Hard work pays off.
Yeah, you feel me? I still don't think I'm, like, I think I have so many more stories to tell. And realistically, I just, like, mentally, a lot of the stories that, I couldn't talk about a lot of the stuff I was doing at 16 because I'm my mama house. Like, it's a limit. You know, the statute of limitations.
She listening to?
She used to listen to a lot of my music. She don't listen as much now.
She get it or?
Nah, she got some of the early ones, but she just liked the feels. And now she be just like, you say nigga a lot. That's what she say now. And I'll be like, but she found a couple records that she be liking. But yeah, but even then, there's just like a lot of experiences and a lot of traumatic experiences or whatever. Like, I didn't know how to, I didn't have the capacity to tell those stories in a way that it can sit to help me. So it took a long time for me to do that.
YC gave you those tools.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
That's dope. So fast forward, you just graduated from DePaul.
Yeah.
Congrats.
That's the thing. Thanks.
And, you know, the first time I really, you know, heard about you was probably like 2015, 2016. You had like this run of mixtapes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you're pretty prolific. But, you know, you're still in school, though.
Yeah.
Is that something you did because you want to do it, or you're pleasing your parents? Or?
Nah, I let that please my parents go a while ago.
Well, you also said you want to be a scientist.
Yeah, like, I also genuinely enjoy science. Like, I really like bio. And like,
you majored in?
Bio.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just genuinely like bio. I've always liked it. It was always not necessarily easy for me, but it was very interesting. And when something's interesting to you, it becomes easy. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to want to learn it. But yeah, if I was still doing stuff with my parents, I would have dropped out like my freshman year of college. Like, that would have stressed me out. So I was doing it for me at that point. And yeah, so because of that, like, stuff would be stressful, but it wouldn't be like annoying. It wouldn't be like, oh my God, like, I hate this. Like, even to act shy, like, Shy would be with me like at shows and I'm doing stuff in the green room, and it wouldn't be like, oh my God, like, damn, I gotta be like, damn, I probably should do this. This is doing 3 hours. I go on stage.
I feel like I saw a lot
hours.
Of tweets. You were like, oh, I'm writing this paper.
Because I would be. You feel me?
Like, really long papers.
No, you know what I'm saying? Long. I've once typed a 14-page paper in 3 hours.
That's crazy.
And I was doing, like, a whole... I was, like, working at the time. We finessed. We finagled a bagel. It's always a way. Like...
So, I mean, I think you've explained this to me before, but where is the crossover between rap and science for you?
Because
you had a minor in something too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, peace, justice, and conflict studies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm also really big in like just like the liberation of people and trying to help people. And I used to do like a lot of like demonstrations and like protests and stuff. I still do, you know what I'm saying? Not like I used to, but like, you know, I try to like be more strategic with it now. But it's always also been something I'm really interested in. But the cross streets really comes from like how I look at, I realize that how I look at music is from a biological standpoint. Like, and I would use like, I guess the best example I can use is Chief Keef, right? Because he's a genius and he's phenomenal and he's a legend. But the reason why I say that is because if you think about the area Keef grew up in, the circumstances he's around, the socioeconomic status that he's around, the probably post-traumatic stress disorder that he's had, things that he's gone through, the situation, like, you know, like the psychology of why he talks about what he talked about based on the, you know, ecology of his area, what's around, the history that surrounds that, which is all bio in a sense. And then you now listen to what he talks about, you'll see that he's just painting a picture of what's around him. You know what I'm saying? So what biology does for me is humanizes people. And what biology does for me in music, and when I look at it from a biological standpoint, it humanizes other people, like other artists. You know what I'm saying? Especially like being a black man in the U.S., you're not humanized much. And that brings a human element to everybody for me. So just trying to help people with that, I think, would be really cool. But that's how I look at music. So I guess that's probably the easiest way to explain how bio translates for me.
That's super dope. Have you tried to explain that to your family?
Low key.
I mean, I think that's like a really sensible way for somebody who's not in this to understand why you do what you do.
I mean, I tried to. I've explained stuff like that to my mom in other situations, like, for example, like black women have the lowest birth weight of anyone in America. And if you take just black women's birth weight, it would be in the top 25, like in terms of like quote unquote third world countries, right? Just of black women in America, not African born black women in America, just black women in America. So there's certain stressors that are placed upon you just off of being black. It's scientifically proven that there are certain stresses placed upon you just because of being black in America, right? That thus may lead to women having a lower birth weight, right? Now, I was born 3 pounds, 2 ounces, 3 months early. Yeah. So I was super small, born on the hot ass day, super early. You feel me? And I wonder, so when I was talking about like just bio in general and trying to explain stuff to my mom about like how situations can change based upon biology, I was talking to her like, you know, by that time she has since moved to America. She's had kids in America, but she's since adapted into the black experience that is in America. And I wonder if that stress is what caused me to be born so small. You know what I'm saying? And it's like explaining stuff like that and putting things in that context. Thus, now when I explain the same reason I'm talking about Keef or whatever, it's like, okay, I can now, like, you now have something to draw back on that I can, like, explain to you about. So,
I mean, you're explaining it in her terms, which, you know?
Yeah, you have a reference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I guess going back to rapping, how does your culture inform your practice?
A lot.
And not just being Nigerian, but, you know, being a native Chicagoan.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. I mean, like, it's funny because I always get this New York, like, comparison or, like, New York, like.
I feel thing. That, though. I mean, even from, like, your early music, you know, and also your voice is so deep on the record. And I was like, this is a 20-year-old?
This is
like, I was like.
It's my sleepy voice. It's my, you still up? Yeah, I'm still up voice. Yeah. I'm so ugly for that. no, but no, like, I mean, if for people who like, who, I feel like people who live in Chicago can really grasp on to my stuff, despite what other influences you hear, because like I mentioned way too much Chicago shit. Like,
I mean, even the slang. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just how I am. And even just the sounds and a lot of my experiences are only something I can do here, period. Like, without a doubt, there's nothing like Chicago, and there's nothing that I would rather talk about, you know? So Chicago influences everything in terms of, like, slang, you know, like, why I talk, my cadences, my my, you know, things I'm interested in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't talk about the rink from nowhere else. You know what I'm saying? I can't talk about footwork in nowhere else, or, you know what I'm saying, like mild sauce, because that's not a thing everywhere else, unfortunately. So it's like, it's stuff that's really just attached to me just as a in general, and then also being like African and like and balancing this first generation thing, more or less just that, more than just like me always bringing up the fact that I'm first generation, because I feel like that would get annoying.
You don't really though.
I don't.
So that's why I'm curious.
Because the thing is, but my circumstances that I'm placed in, and the reason why I end up in a lot of these circumstances, is because
so it's inherent.
Right. It's like I'm in these situations because I had to do certain things that I couldn't do in my house because of my parents, or because of the culture that's in the house.
So it's always there.
It's always there. Yeah. But like, it's like, I don't have to always speak on it, because my experiences reflect, like, I think anyone who is a first generation who listens to my music will at least be like, he probably got first generation parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, he probably got immigrant parents. Like, I can kind of say, okay, because you doing way too much. Like, you don't got to do all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is all of this a thing? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So it's always there, though.
Do you think you navigate creative fields and spaces differently because of your culture?
Mm-hmm. How so? I think I try to map everything out as much as humanly possible. It's actually annoying.
Are you talking about you plan
everything?
Like, right. Career-wise,
like everything.
Or socially?
Everything.
Okay, so.
Like interactions, plan-wise, like.
But why?
Because when I was, you know, wanting to go to a party when I was 16, I had to plan everything. Like, I had to plan.
So you don't get in trouble?
Right. At the point, how I was getting there, when I was getting home, you know what I'm saying, who I was going out with, who I was telling my parents I was going out with, what address I was going to, what number I was going to get them, how long I was going out for, what I was going to wear, that's going to be fly to them and to my homies.
Or wear clothes under those clothes.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, luckily for me, you know what I'm saying, I was able to kind of swindle, you feel me? But then, you know what I'm saying, if my mama go to sleep, what time, because I can pop back. You know what I'm saying? But I just started applying that to everything, like, to school, to everything. So let me plan
out
everything.
How does it appear differently when you get older?
It becomes just a lot of strategic thinking. It becomes like, okay, I'm going to go to this event. I know this person is going to be there. Let me meet them, do this, let me do that. Okay, I need to move a certain way. I can't be seen with this or that or doing things of that sort. Okay, I need to get in and get out. Or if I'm working on a project that's 17 songs, I'm going to break it up into 4 different parts to get 5 different experiences out of it. And then maybe it can propel me into a different spot. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everything is like, and even like from the song titles of my songs to why they're worded to why my name, why things are capitalized or lowercase or why they're spelled the way they are or anything, it's all like suit. It's actually annoying how much I think all of this out.
So understand.
Yeah, it's wild. It's actually wild. Sick.
Yeah. So speaking of projects, mm-hmm. Your debut album, De La Creme 2, just came out.
Yeah.
So
my
congrats
baby.
On that too. You
Thank
had a big
you.
Year.
My child.
And released via Closed Sessions.
Yeah.
Super dope.
Shout out to them.
What was different about this project? Because like I said, like over the last couple of years, you've released a handful of other projects. So what was, you know, markedly different about this?
Those were all failed De La Creme projects. Failed De La Creme projects. Not failed, but there were other ideas. Like that whole concept was originally from De La Creme 2, but like it didn't fit what I wanted. The overall process in general of the album, I think I went through so much and I learned like so much that I can talk about. And it was really explaining the gap from 18 to 21, 22-ish.
The debut album.
Yeah. And it was just like speaking on things and really trying to understand why I'm the way I am. And I think that's the first time I've really, really done that in a project. And I really made that the focus to like try to like use this as more or less help for me. So it's like before I would make music, try to get an overall theme across and then like, you know, I give myself a little therapeutic moments in the process, but this entire album was therapy for me. Like, it's all, you know what I'm saying, me having to understand who I am. And once I learn who I am, it's like a time capsule now. I can save this for me. So if I ever get lost along the way or whatever I'm doing, I can go back to this, and these moments that I'm talking about can bring me back. So, like, this album was probably the most therapeutic for me and probably one of the hardest to make. But yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and so the first cut is called Lost, which I think is, I mean, if you listen to the song, it's really honest and sincere. And I mean, not a, you know, not what I would expect to be the first cut.
That's what I was hoping for.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you succeeded.
Yes.
But why start on that foot?
Because it was this idea of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, losing yourself and finding yourself. So it's like, it ends with found. So it's, and I start off like asking these questions for me, but also for anyone who's listening. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I give you all of me and not just a part of me, you know what I'm saying? Would you accept all of me and not just a part of me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I deserve happiness. You know what I'm saying? I understand my strength, but I'm not above depression. I understand the rain. You know, just like talking about like kind of where I was when I started this project, you know, versus where I feel like I'm going to be when I end, you know. And it's like, okay, like, this starts the quest of kind of like really finding out who I am. And that's why I started off like that, I feel like.
So the last is found, last song. Did you feel that way at the end?
Yeah, I felt really good. I felt like I could go through this and, you know, like, pick out me as a person. Like, I feel like, for someone who's never met me as a person, or people who have met me or are very cool with me or whatever, I feel like this at least gives them a glimpse into, because always more stories I can tell, more situations. But I feel like by the time you get to found, and especially by the time you get to the end of found, it's a glimpse into, like, okay, like, all right, I kind of have an idea of some sort of, like, where he was at this time and where he's at going towards the next project or whatever else he's working on. So
yeah, I mean, it's beautiful and really cohesive sonically, and you know, the narrative is cohesive, and I feel
you
like
can thank him too. He did like eight songs out of the
That's
he
dope.
Produced like eight or nine songs out the whole project. Yeah, so he's fire.
And by what his is his beats. Producer name?
Your Charles Lost.
Okay.
Lost. Gang, gang. Plug. Shameless plug.
No, shameless.
Yeah. I'll say plug twice.
So I mean, like I said, it hinges on storytelling, and you go through a range of emotions. What story are you trying to tell? We kind of talked about it, but
yeah, you know. I mean, mine. I mean, really, everyone. I feel like the tagline was like, everyone has a story to tell. That's the whole like tagline behind the project, and this is mine. You know, like, that's the story is that there are a lot of different elements to a person, and there are a lot of different elements to me, and hopefully there's a lot of different elements to you that you realize by playing this. You know, like, no one's really like one dimensional. So I think that's the overall like story I was trying to tell, just mine up to this point. So
how does your culture appear in your everyday life now? You know, you're grown, you got your own crib,
yeah.
Not with your parents.
Yeah.
You know, you graduate from college.
Yeah.
Like, how does it appear for you?
I still clean my crib like my mama home. Like, my mom would be like, you know, now it finally looks like human being lives here, you know, this is a human being's house. You finally like it, you know. And then when I finish cleaning every time, I'm like, damn, a human being lives here now. It's lit. but even just like the food choices I eat, or how I just like, once again, like I said, like how I think about things, like, it's like I would think about stuff like, okay, like, how would I do this if I wasn't a crib, you know? Like, can I be that strategic in general? And just stuff like, and little stuff like cleaning or hosting people, or, you know what I'm saying, like, the little, it'd be little shit, like, it'd be just the smallest random shit that I'd be like, or like, even like fucking, what is, like, I freeze everything,
it can still be good later,
right?
Know? Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You can't waste anything.
But apparently people don't do that.
No, like, I know, people also, like, don't take home leftovers. Which
I take home all
mind.
The leftovers.
Yes.
You feel me? So it's like, but I also try to finish food. Like, I got to finish my meal if it's in front of me. Like, this is actually funny. Yeah, like leftovers. I'll be saving shit I don't need to save. Not like disgusting shit, but just like Ziploc bags. Like, why? You know what I'm saying? But that's what my mom does. Like, yes. My mom do that shit all the time. We used to tell her, yo, throw
reuse
that shit
them.
Out.
Yeah.
But then now I find myself like, you know what? I'll be hearing her voice too.
Though. If I throw away a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, I'll be like, damn, I don't need to do that, bro. Like, I could have kept that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but that's, it'd be little stuff like that, it comes up in my everyday life, even like sweeping or like how I would do anything. Like, it's just like, damn, like, I should wash that Ziploc bag and save it. Like, why? Why am I doing that? It makes no, it's like a dollar a bag, like a box, like just throw that shit away. But just, I don't know. I mean, when you don't really come from much, you kind of just, you know,
yeah,
that's how you remain.
So just wrapping up,
yeah,
what's next for you? I know you got a big summer.
Yeah. So
still,
yeah. So, well, next is we rehearsing for Lollapalooza. So that should be fun.
Hey,
gang.
What day do you play?
Saturday. Saturday at like 12:30. I'm early. So
what stage?
The formerly known as the Pepsi stage, now okay. The American Eagle stage.
We all plan accordingly.
Yeah, plan accordingly. Pull up. But yeah, so prepping for Lala right now, and then we got like an after show too. At Bottom Lounge, or A Boogie the day before. We're trying to like set up this tour right now, and just keep recording and making more music. And we got like a bunch of new content for the album, like visuals, and we probably have a pop up soon. We got merch coming and all this other stuff. So, just really just keeping the rollout going, keeping things going with the album. I feel like it's gonna get a new life in the fall. But yeah, that's really what we are, man. And then, but immediately for the summer. Is performing at home at Lollapalooza. It's gonna be fun.
That's so dope.
Yeah, I can't. Congrats. Wait. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm just excited.
I said congrats like five times. You deserve all of it.
I'm excited. I'm really like, the Lollapalooza thing is cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's like, oh my god. Like, I'm also don't really get excited for much. It's not really a thing. Like, I'm not really a super excited. For everyone else, though, I get super excited. But for like me, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Like, when like my managers call me about Lollapalooza, I was like, bet. And they're like, wow. I'm like my manager Ellie be like, yo, fam don't like me. But I'm more excited that my mom get to see me perform. Because she's never seen me perform. Yeah. Like, last time she seen me perform was Louder Than a Bomb when I was 17. I wasn't rapping. I was doing spoken word. Yeah. And even then, that shit, like, fucked her
so
mind.
So different,
up.
Though. Yeah.
Because, like, I was, like, loud as hell. Like, it was a super, you feel me? Like, you know, we in this poem. But she's never, I don't raise my voice, you know what I'm saying? She's never heard me raise my voice before, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really get, anyone who knows me knows I don't really get much louder than this. Or like change my, you know, unless I'm gassing somebody, because I'm a professional gasser. I am a premium gas. I will have you in your bag for free. But
that's a nice tagline.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get in your bag.
If you ever, you know, move on from rapping.
From rapping, I will gas you. If you
maybe not for free.
Not for free. You know, we can work out rates depending on how easy the gas is. But no, so it's just. It's just cool for her to see me perform, because you never see me perform.
You think she like understands the weight of performing at Lala?
She calls me Lollapalooza when she answers the phone. Aww. She'd be like, hey, first of all, she called me King Dilla. That's just hilarious.
That's
she'd be
so
like,
cute.
She called me like all my nicknames. She'd be like, Fem Dilla, how you doing, my son? What are you, Lala? Big Lala. Which I say Lollapalooza. I'm like, yo, bye. Yo, you
that
you
means
a
she's
real
with
one.
The shits?
Yo, my mom is super with this. My mom with all that shits, dog. Like, that's my dog. Like, I love that woman. Like, that is my whole. I'm gonna like, can't wait to retire her. Like, she's so raw. Like, she's too raw. But yeah, so I'm excited for her to be a Lala with all the people. She's gonna be in the back though. She can't be in the crowd. That's too much.
Nah, she gonna be backstage.
Yeah, she gonna be backstage cooling, you know what I'm saying? Drinking grenadine. She don't drink, so she gonna be drinking like ginger ale. I won't, but she will.
Are you allowed to drink?
Oh yeah, we've already got past that point.
Oh, okay.
That was a very interesting conversation, though.
I'm sure, because you also fast and stuff.
Yeah. Like Ramadan and stuff, I'll be fasting and stuff. So like, that's also a very interesting conversation. I think that's what happened when we were in Korea, and I was drinking beer, and they were looking like, oh. And my mom is my, you know, she knows, she always knew when I would come in the house when I was like 17 and shit. But yo, like, you eat? I'm like, oh damn, you know what I'm saying, like. She
Am
know.
I that drunk?
No, not even that. It just felt like she like I would feel weird like getting up in the morning. She's like, you make sure you eat before you go out next time. And like when I was younger, I'm like, oh yeah, true. But then I think about it like, yo, you knew. Like, you really knew. Yeah. That's wild.
Them 12 senses.
Yeah, them all 12 of them. Yeah. So, but yeah, she's dope. So, Yeah, Lala, and then trying to tour. That's the next venture.
Cool. Well, thank you. And
thank you.
Now you're gonna perform a song from De La Creme 2.
Yeah.
Called You Learn.
Yeah. Right. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. Woo! Oh my God. Oh, can I get a stand? Can I get a stand? I'm gonna take one. I'm sorry. Bet we in the game. Hope I don't knock over. Hope I don't. I got thick ass boots on. Hope I don't kick this glass. Hear it moving and shit. It's not me. Actually not fucking with me. This is wild. We're gonna just leave it up here. That's cool. We're gonna let it rock. Let go and let God. 2018. Okay, we straight. Yeah, I had to use the other one, you feel me? Cause yeah, we straight now. We in the game. Ooh. How y'all feel? Y'all feel good? Everybody straight? Mind if I spill my soul real quick? It'll be ashamed if let's get to it. It'll be ashamed if I spill my soul for you all. How long can I keep this up, man? It's not on purpose. I know I still struggle with emotion. Even my mama noticed, man, she ain't never seen me nervous. Only see me working once I started smiling, stopped hurting. So far from perfect, even got cracks at my surface. Far from worthless, determining what my worth is. Keep telling myself souls are things to be purchased. Dodging the serpent, know the world be trying me too. You're not alone, shorty girl, I get anxiety too. This sound like Redline, back when I was like 17. At 22, man, I done things you ain't never seen. So now, man, I'm focused on a new flattery. Trying to get my mom a compound, like, thanks for having me. My dad at 23 was a couple years from a family. At 23, man, I'm just trying to triple my salary. Getting to the point where my parents become a human and younger me looking foolish. You gotta work it out, fam, you can't put it in the music. Since you a unk now, gotta walk it out. Can't just talk the talk, man, you gotta prove it. You can't be having these girls out here looking stupid. Keep on 100 and then let them know what the truth is. I mean, you can't have them looking clueless. But to be quite honest, you should have knew this. But I guess you live and you learn. I guess you live and you learn. If y'all have a good time tonight, can y'all hear you say hell yeah? Say hell yeah. Say oh yeah. Say oh yeah. Look, I fell in love with a girl that I wasn't ready for. For so long I was thinking, how selfish of me. I remember I couldn't grow alone. For so long I was thinking, how hopeless of me. For years I've been trying to do it all myself. Started growing when I realized I wasn't weak to be helped. Stressed out, losing weight, punch another hole in the belt. Only Lord knows how I find a way to keep my health. Only Lord knows how I find a way to keep myself. It's funny cause I hate drama. I was solving more problems than I was starting. I was hot at things, beefing with my mama. Heard some women, Tatiana, some keys, some more Tianas. Down the liquor like it's water, till it tastes like water. Putting yak and Tropicana, that don't mix. But then again, neither do me and violence. But here I'm down for slotting with bro and them. And I know that they down for riding. But yo, riding right past, don't pull us over. It's guns in this car, nigga. I should've stayed in Glenwood with my niggas. Why I'm in the city involved with niggas? Why I come home and play football with niggas? Like I wasn't just with niggas who throw bullets. Toon said, don't reach if you don't pull it. Could've been living different well, instead we living well. But hey, man, you live and you learn. Hey. I guess you live and you learn. Yeah. I guess you live and you learn. I know we small in here, but can I see everybody put one hand in the air like this? There's one hair in the air like that, and y'all go follow me, okay? Just follow me, look. Now wave, and back, and back, and forth, and back, yeah! See, y'all so good at this. This is great. Y'all have great flexibility. This is wonderful. Yeah, hey. Now you wave one time, and you said we live and you learn. Yeah. All right, faster now. Speed it up now. Yeah, okay, you got it. I seen you there. You got it too. Don't worry. You caught up. Yeah. I said you live and you learn. Yeah. I said you live and you learn. Make some noise for yourselves one time. Thank you for coming out to hear me talk for an hour. This is shout out to Tara.
Woo, this is great.
Yo, that was dope.